These are your prayers tonight, that the Spirit of the Lord would meet with us. Lord, it laid a burden on my heart, and I appreciate the messages that I have set under. The last few nights, it seems like that the Lord has, to a certain extent, been directing to those that need to get ready to meet God. And I started questioning in myself, Lord, is this message, you want me to preach this? And I realized that the Spirit of the Lord in His faithfulness comes back again and again and again. Because, folks, the Lord's wanting us to get ready to meet God. The Lord's wanting us to get ready. He wants each and every one of us here tonight. If we were to leave here this evening and go out into eternity, the Lord wants us to be ready to go. He wants us to be able to stand before the judgment seat of God with the blood of Jesus having been applied to our life. Burden the Lord put on my heart is, remember now thy Creator. I'd like to begin over in Ecclesiastes in the 11th chapter. Begin reading with the 9th verse. It says, rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thine heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Therefore remove sorrow from thy heart, and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Solomon began saying here in the 9th verse, he said, rejoice, O young man, in thy youth. The message is not focused just to the young people here tonight, but there is something about youth that is invigorating. There's something when you're young, the world lies in front of you. Dreams and plans and purposes. Little children have plans and purposes for life. I remember when I was probably 5 years old, my older brother and sister went to school. And my plans and my dreams and where my ambitions were, I'm going to go to school next year. And that was big to me. That was an important event in life, was to go to school. Because once you start school, you've attained something. You passed a milestone in your life. And then after you get into elementary school, one of the next big things that we as children and young people tend to look forward to, when I get bigger, I'm going to middle school. I'm going to be in 7th grade. Then pretty soon you start looking for that driver's license. And your world tends to focus on those plans and on those dreams. When I get my driver's license, there may be some other trouble and things that's going on in life, but if I can just get my driver's license, it's almost like you think your world's going to change. Well, after you get your driver's license, life goes on. And you start looking forward to graduation, getting out of school. Some are just glad to walk away from it. That's a big time. If I can just get out of school and get finished. You see, young people, folks, the world lies ahead of you tonight. And nothing is wrong with having dreams and plans. One of my dreams when I was probably 12, and I'm hearing it from one of my boys now, he wasn't going to ever get married. And I was going to move to Colorado and I was going to adopt a son and have a ranch. Well, see, my life didn't turn out that way. I ended up getting married. I have 3 boys and I don't have a ranch. But life turns out differently. But those were my plans. Those were my dreams. That was my purpose. That's what I wanted. And even when things got rough, and I'll tell on myself here, I remember and I was very young at the time, but something upset me when I was at home. And I was just ready to run away to Colorado and get started right then. You see, because that was what I enjoyed. That's what I wanted. Dreams. You have dreams tonight. You know dreams are not limited to young people. You know tonight that I have some dreams and plans and some things I would still like to do in life. After you get out of high school, think that everything's going to all of a sudden be different, and it is. Some go on to start a career and some go to college. And I remember if I can just get through this and get finished. And then one of those next milestones in life generally is, if I can just get married. You see, then everything's going to be all right. If I can just get married. And then the children come along. Focus on a lot of times it seems like at that time of life, focus on a lot of times the cares of life. Raising a family. And then people get a little bit older and you know what they start looking forward to? Retirement. If I can just get finished, if I can get my 30 years in, if I can get to age 65 and I can retire, there's nothing wrong with those plans. But what Solomon was saying here, he said, young man, young woman, rejoice in thy youth. Let thine heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth and walk in the ways of thine heart, in the sight of thine eyes. But he said, but know thou this. Don't forget in all of the dreams and the plans that all of us here, there's not one of us here tonight probably that doesn't have any plans for the future. People get retirement age and then there's things they want to do. Places I want to go and things I want to do that I've never been able. All of us have plans here tonight. And there's nothing wrong with dreams and plans in and of themselves. But folks, when it's all said and done, it's going to come back to what Solomon said. Know thou this, that for all of these things, God will bring thee into judgment. Folks, with all of our plans, with all of our purposes, with all of the things that we're involving ourselves in tonight, at all different ages, in all the different seasons, if you will, of life, when it's all said and done, each and every one of us is going to stand before God. And we're going to give account of how we've lived our life. He said, remember now thy Creator. In the days of thy youth. And I just want to say to all of us, regardless of age, remember now thy Creator. In the place that you are in your life, from the grandparents to the children here tonight, don't forget God in all of your plans. In the purposes, because He said, here moving on down, in the 8th verse, in the 12th chapter, He said, vanity of vanity, saith the preacher. All is vanity. What Solomon began to do after he said, remember now thy Creator, he began to talk about what it meant to get old. And folks, it's not always pleasant to have these bodies start wearing out. And Solomon started to go through the process that the body goes through in getting old. And then he ended up in saying, vanity of vanities. Saith the preacher, it's all vain. And in the 13th verse, he said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment, with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. When all is said and done, don't forget your Creator. Because all of the plans and purposes and all of the things that entail, our lives entail, when we're all folks going to come to the same place, where all of us, we are going to end up before God and we're going to stand in a place of judgment. There are times in life that I believe as saints, we have been hearing folks anointed messages in this meeting. The Spirit of the Lord has been faithful in this meeting. And sometimes I wonder, Lord, what is wrong? Is it us preachers? What's wrong? But folks, the Spirit of the Lord is still dealing with people. But as we've already heard, it is up to us to make the choice. And I want to remind us tonight, don't forget your Creator. Remember Him in your life because you will stand before God. And there is something about it when we are young, we tend to always think we're going to have a tomorrow. We tend to always think that if I don't get some things done today, I'm going to wake up tomorrow and I can get it done then. Folks, one of these days, there's not going to be another tomorrow. One of these days, all of the dreams and plans and purposes, everything the song says, I believe, talks about the crashing of ages. Time is going to come to a stop. And we are going to be facing eternity. Folks, our lives is just a vapor, James said. What is your life? It's even a vapor that appears for just a little time, and then it vanishes away. Folks, we cannot count, and this is why he said, remember your Creator in the days of thy youth. You may never get old. It has stirred me hearing some of these reports even this week of those that have gone out into eternity. Someone that was 34 years old, gone out into eternity. Someone else in their 70s or 80s, I don't know how old, but folks, everybody of all ages are passing out. They don't have another tomorrow. In one day it's going to be me. In one day it's going to be you. Remember now thy Creator. We cannot afford tonight to put off our salvation. We cannot afford tonight. Folks, all of our dreams are going to be nothing when we stand before God. He's going to look and He's going to say, Michael, folks, I'm not going to give account of any of you all here tonight. And you're not going to give account of me, but we're going to stand individually before God. And He's going to look at me and say, Michael. And He's going to look at the works that have been done in my life. He's going to look and see if I was following Jesus. This is here the conclusion of the whole matter. When it's all said and done, it always comes back down to this. There is a judgment. And after the judgment, there is an eternity. When God begins to speak to our hearts as children, that is the time that we need to start responding. When the Lord begins to show us areas in our life where there's sin, when the Lord in His faithfulness during these meetings that we come together year after year after year, folks, someday that's going to stop. And if we're not careful, we'll think that there'll be another meeting. There'll be another opportunity that I can go to the altar. There's going to be another opportunity to pray. But folks, there are people tonight that are here in this building that are going to go out into eternity unprepared to meet God. But none of us have to be in that condition. Because the invitation was wide open. And He's saying, remember now your Creator while there's time to pray. Read a story about a man that went out into eternity and all he could say on his deathbed was lost. Lost. Eternally lost. And it was because when the Spirit of God had come and convicted him, he just put it off. He didn't remember his Creator. I ask you tonight in the fear of God, are you remembering your Creator? Are you remembering God in light of eternity? My plans and my dreams of the future, folks, they get pretty small when I start thinking about eternity. Because the conclusion of the thing is, when it's all said and done, it's going to be whether I'm saved, whether I've been washed in the blood of Jesus, and whether I love God with all of my heart, folks, that's what it's going to come down to. It's up to us tonight. David said, my soul is continually. Where did he say it was? He said, it's in my hand. Your soul tonight. I can't blame the condition of my soul on my parents. I cannot blame the condition of my soul on my wife, on my children. I can't blame tonight the condition of my soul on the congregation. I cannot blame tonight the condition of my soul on those that maybe have hurt me in the past. Because the choice is ours, as we've heard. My soul is in my hand. Folks, there is a God tonight that all of the problems and the obstacles and the impossibilities that are in your life, there is a God that is greater than that tonight. In those places that you may feel bound tonight, and it seems like it's impossible to come to a place of repentance, God is bigger than that tonight. If you will humble your heart and remember your Creator. Plans. There's nothing wrong with plans. I want to read to you tonight from Luke in the 12th chapter about a man who had some plans. He had some dreams and he had some purposes. Luke in the 12th chapter, beginning in the 16th verse. Jesus spake a parable unto them and said, "The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry." Was there anything wrong with this man having plans to tear down his barns? Was there anything wrong with this man having been prosperous and been blessed with plenty? Folks, there was nothing wrong with that. There is nothing wrong tonight with having a dream and a vision. If the Lord allows, I'm going to tear down this barn. As the Lord is blessed, I'm going to build a bigger barn. There's nothing sinful in and of itself of prosperity, folks. But God spoke to this man with all of his dreams and his plans, and he said, "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall these things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." You know what this man's problem was? It wasn't his dreams of a bigger barn. His problem was that he had forgotten his Creator. And so God said, "You're a fool." The Lord showed me a few years ago. Maybe you've heard this preached on and God saying, "You fool." I don't hear God speaking that way. I hear God looking down in love on this man, saying, "You fool. Your soul's going to be required of you tonight." Are we remembering our Creator and how we've been living, folks? Young people, middle age, old people, are you remembering your Creator? This is why Jesus said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Remember your Creator and put Him first in your life. Put God first tonight. And you realize that these other dreams, some people think, if I serve God, I can't have any plans and dreams. That's a lie of the devil. That's a trick of the enemy. The Lord does not remove our personalities when we get saved. But He wants us to come and put Him first in our life. "Lord, I am submitting and committing my dreams and plans to You." But folks, we're still going to have dreams and plans. But Lord, I'm placing them on the altar and I'm going to put You first in my life. He neglected. This man here was wise in a way. He was wise in that he had laid up in store for his temporal retirement. You realize that's wisdom? You realize tonight, and we won't spend a lot of time on this, but if you're bringing home a paycheck tonight, you're going out working, you ought to be taking some of that and putting it away. Because there's going to come a day you may not be able to work. And Social Security may not be so secure when some of us get to that age. That is why it was wisdom here, and it still is tonight, even for children of God. As the Lord blesses you and the Lord prospers you, you take some of that and put it away. Don't put your faith in it. Don't put your trust in it, but it's wisdom and laying in store for the future. But what is more important is this man had considered his earthly retirement. But he had not considered his eternal retirement. Folks, what is 80, 90 years, 100 probably at the most? What is that? How does that compare tonight to eternity? It ought to change our perspective in life. It ought to change the way that we view things in life. I want to encourage you tonight to remember your Creator and start laying up some treasure in heaven. I want to encourage you tonight that if you're not ready for eternity, do you realize that the Lord will equip you, that all of us tonight could be ready to go? All of us tonight, regardless of the problems in our lives, there is a God of hope. There is a God that loves us tonight. If we have just sinned and been and reviled God, and we don't haven't believed, and we all the things that are in people's lives, folks, that doesn't matter. God, when He sees us coming, He's there with His arms of love open to us. But it's up to us to lay up in store for eternity. Because the result... You see, there are people in a temporal way that are struggling tonight to put food on their table. Older people that are struggling tonight, and it's because they didn't think about their retirement. Well, I got $1,000, and so then they spend it, and they don't take 100 or 150 of it faithfully and put it in the bank, thinking there's going to come a time that I won't be able to work. And so tonight, in a literal sense, there are elderly people that are struggling to put food on the table because they didn't think about retirement. They spent what they had. Folks, we can manage through a lot of that, but we will not be able to make it through eternity unless we remember now our Creator. Lord, I don't want to forget You. In my dreams and my plans and the things I want to do, Lord, I want to remember my eternal retirement. Folks, time is going to go on and on and on. And there will be no end. There are people, and I'm sure everybody here probably has heard it, people have equated the conditions of their life on an equal plane with hell. Have you heard people do that? I'm in such desperate straits. Things are so bad. The way people are treating me. And they say, and they equate it to hell. I want us to understand something. Do you realize that as long as we are alive, there is hope that circumstances will get better? And that is why as circumstances change, then hope springs anew. But in eternity, there is nothing that compares to, there's no glimmer of hope, folks. If we don't remember now our Creator and we end up in a devil's hell, we will never have any more hope. There's no hope. Tonight, how would you feel if the Lord came in here and just went bench by bench and took away all the hope that you had? There's no hope for you. Do you know how discouraging and despondent all of us would be tonight? Do you realize in hell there is no hope of a better tomorrow? Jesus told the story of the rich man and Lazarus. The rich man had also considered his earthly retirement, but he hadn't put God first. He hadn't remembered his Creator. And do you remember where he ended up? Said he lifted up his eyes. Luke in the 16th chapter said he lifted up his eyes in hell. Let's turn and read it. Luke 16. It said, in hell he lifted up his eyes being in torments. And he saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." I want my children, some people don't like to hear about hell. It's an uncomfortable subject. But do you realize hell is a reality tonight? And that's why the Spirit of God is saying, remember now thy Creator. Because none of us have to end up there. Folks, He was in eternal, everlasting, perpetual, continual torment with no hope of things getting better. There's no escape when we're in that condition, folks. There's no escape. There's no rest. Have you ever not been able to go to sleep at night when you're really tired? It's miserable. And you toss and you turn and you may jerk. Can't go to sleep. It's a very unpleasant condition. Do you realize that hell is going to be a place where we're not going to have any escape? You see, he was wanting just the tip, just a drop. Whether or not you believe in literal fire, I believe the agony of hell is worse because it's dealing with the spirit. It's dealing with lost opportunities, knowing there's no more hope. There's no time, there's no more opportunity to pray and say, "Lord, I'm sorry. I remember you now." Folks, this rich man was remembering his Creator from hell. But it was too late. And so he said, "Could you send Lazarus?" Where was Lazarus? Do you realize tonight that if you will remember your Creator, we're going to experience the joys of heaven? You see, there's a flip side to this. There are joys forevermore. And I said before, and I'll mention it again, used to think, sometimes wonder if all you're going to do up in heaven was play a harp and stuff. It didn't look real attractive place to go. You know, that doesn't draw on all of us. Some people really like things like that. There's going to be a quality of life up in heaven, folks. We are not going to be little spirits floating around in heaven and in hell. We are going to have glorified bodies. We are going to have a body that lives. You see, the Scripture says there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. That means there is going to be a new place of abode. This earth is going to melt with fervent heat. But folks, we're going to know then even as also we are known. When we get to heaven, we are going to have bodies that are going to be glorified. It's more than just, but it's going to take the Spirit being cleansed and purified for us to get to heaven. Remember now thy Creator, because there is joy. And folks, I'm also thankful tonight that we don't have to wait till we die to experience the joy of life. Been mentioned many times in the meeting already. I have the best tonight that life has to offer. I believe tonight that my quality of life is better now, even if there was no eternity. My quality of life with my family and my children and the joy I have on a daily basis is better than what the way of the world is. But then I also have heaven to look forward to. Folks, there's an experience tonight that all of us can have. It's an experience of love and joy and happiness. We can enjoy life. Remember now thy Creator, and don't forget the reality of hell this evening. So the rich man asked Abraham, he said, "Could you send Lazarus back from the dead? Let him tell my brothers that this thing is real." The other day on Memorial Day, we were out at the cemetery. And I was meditating on some of this, and I looked around at all those gravestones. I thought, what would it be like if they could come back and start talking to us? I saw some had been buried, that they're in paradise today. They come back and say, "It's worth it. It's worth it." But do you know the majority of the people would come back and say, "Believe it. This thing is real. Eternity is real. Amen. Folks, tonight, in a way, I wish there could be someone that hadn't served God that had died come talk to us tonight. And I wish there could be someone that had died and gone to paradise, a place of departed souls, before the judgment, that could come and tell us about the reality of it. But do you realize something tonight? It wouldn't change you. It wouldn't change you. You say, Brother Michael, it would. Jesus said that it wouldn't. Abraham said that it wouldn't. Because the rich man said, could you send Lazarus back from the dead? They will believe him because they know he died. And he could tell them about the reality of eternity. And Abraham said, they have Moses and the prophets. He said, let them hear them. And he said, no, Father Abraham, if one went to them from the dead, they will repent. If someone could come and tell us the reality of eternity night, in our mind, we think, yes, it would bring repentance. But he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Tonight, the word of God has been going forth in this meeting. If we do not believe, as has been preached, if you do not believe the word of God tonight, you're going to go out unprepared to meet God. But if you will remember your Creator, if you will remember Him and say, Lord, I want to be saved. I can't help but think about Belshazzar and Daniel in the 5th chapter. Do you remember when Belshazzar, they were partying and having a good time in the flesh? They're having a good time. And he called for the vessels, the cups, from the temple to be brought. Do you realize he was desecrating that which was sacred from the temple? And I wonder tonight how many times... You see, Belshazzar knew about the God of Israel. His grandfather, Nebuchadnezzar, knew about the God of Israel. Belshazzar knew the stories. He knew that this God was real. And that was the reason why he was bringing the vessels in. He wanted to show, I can live to the flesh. I can still do what I want. Do you remember how they looked on the wall and a hand appeared and started to write on the wall? Said, meeny, meeny, tekel, upharsin, thou art weighed in the balance and found wanting. Folks, each one of us in this meeting, I'm not qualifying it to this service tonight, but the Spirit of the Lord has been doing some weighing. Seeing where we are with God. Seeing if we've been remembering our Creator in our actions. He lost His kingdom that night. Folks, there's going to come a day that the books, the scripture over in Revelation said, that the books are going to be opened. And folks, we're going to be judged from the book. We're going to be weighed tonight. And that means it goes beyond this evening if I've had a profession of salvation. It means that it comes down to how I've been living my life. It means how husbands and fathers, how we have been conducting ourselves in the privacy of our home. Mothers and wives. You see, it's on our actions, how we've been living our life. We're going to be judged and we're going to be weighed. Tonight, when the Lord weighs you and you examine your life, have you been remembering your Creator? In every aspect of life, I've been remembering my God. Because when all is said and done, what did Solomon say? You're going to come to the judgment. You're going to give account of everything in your life. Galatians 6, verses 7, 8 says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life. everlasting. Folks, let's not be deceived tonight. I ask you in the fear of God to examine your life and weigh your spirit and weigh where you are with your dreams and your plans, young and old alike tonight. Remember your Creator. Because there is opportunity tonight given. And if we are not ready to stand before the judgment, the time is going to come. And Jeremiah 8:20 says it this way. The harvest is past. And the summer is ended. You see, things have passed me by. Always been looking for another day. Different dreams and different plans. All of those things are going to pass us by. And it said, and we are not saved. I heard recently, and Brother Larry may know who this is, I don't. Brother Leslie told about a man in Dayton, Ohio, a number of years back that was in a meeting. Similar to what this is. People heard this is the God sound, they were sitting under the sound of the gospel. Man was not saved. And he went by the minister and he said, as he was leaving the chapel building, he said, I should have gone to the altar tonight. I should have gone to the altar. And he went out and he lost a soul that night. He went out into eternity. And some of the last words that he said were, I should have gone to the altar. I should have remembered God. I should have asked the Lord to forgive me. Oh, I ask you tonight to consider where you're at. You see, now is the time that God's given us. But when you weigh your life, it's not going to stand on what your profession is tonight. It's not going to stand on what everybody thinks about you in the congregation. It's going to stand when God weighs our spirit and He weighs our life. Are we going to have remembered our Creator? Have you remembered your Creator tonight? Eternity is a long time. Eternity is a long time. And if you are not ready tonight to go out and stand before God, I entreat you, come and meet Jesus. Come and let the Lord do a work in your life. And if you're saved, but there are places in your life that you're not quite ready to stand before the judgment, folks, eternity is too long for us to play games with our soul. There are too many tonight that have been gambling with their souls. Before I sit down, I'm going to tell you something about gambling. It's addictive. And the more you gamble, the more you lose. Over by Tulsa, I went by there the other day, and on the sign of the casino, it says they paid out, maybe was it $30 million last year? And I thought, wow, that's a lot of money. How much did people lose? People lost $500 million at this casino last year. But see, people think that it's chancy. If I can just do a little bit more and risk a little bit more, maybe I'll win a little bit back. Folks, there's a reason there's more and more casinos coming in. It's because people lose money. But it is addictive. Gambling with your soul is the same way. The longer you put off seeking God, the harder it's going to be to come back to humble your heart and find a place of repentance. And that is the reason tonight, if the Spirit of the Lord has been talking to you in this meeting, don't gamble with it. But let's come and ask God to meet with us. I believe the Spirit of God's wanting to do some work. But He's not going to force it. And I want to ask you something tonight. The Lord is not going to twist any of our arms to get ready. He's saying, I want you to voluntarily remember me. So let's stand and sing a song tonight. We don't need to sing six songs tonight. If you need to do business with God, come and do business with God.